Afternoon, it's 5 minutes after one. I'm mindful that I'm in former Senator McGuire's committee room, and I'm delighted to have a joint, well, you never have it, you always have the last person that had its place. So we're delighted to have co-hearings today with the Senate and House Judiciary. I'd like to introduce the Chair of Senate Judiciary, Hollis French, and Senator Terrio, Senator McGuire, Senator Wilikowski, Senator Huggins, myself, Representative Rammers, Representative Coghill, Representative Dahlstrom, Representative Gruenberg, Representative Holmes, and assume we have excused absences for Representative Samuels and for our friend Representative Lynn. And our prayers continue to go out to his wife that she should recover and get well, to Mrs. Lynn. Senator French has graciously given me the gavel today because he'll be leaving at 1:30 to offer testimony on one of his bills. We're here today to do some confirmation hearings for the Board of Governors of the Alaska Bar, the Commission on Judicial Conduct, and a member of the Violent Crimes Compensation Board. Senator French, can you just go through the process for Mr. Ashenbrenner and the manner in which we're going to handle that particular nomination, please?
Thank you. Mr. Ashenbrenner, my understanding is that his paperwork, if you will, is not quite perfected, but that given the procedural posture of this hearing, which is essentially an overview, that we would hear from him today, put it on the public record, and that when his name is forwarded to the full body, that if the paperwork isn't perfected by that time, his name would not appear. If it is, then it will. But this is just a way for us to go through the process of gathering information from him. My understanding is that it's not actually necessary that you have a hearing on these matters, that the real sort of the important moment is the vote on the floor of both bodies. But in any event, his name is in front of us today. It seemed more efficient to have the hearing in conjunction with the other ones than to set him off by himself.
Okay, so that being duly noted, we have all telephonically today, all of our members, and I think that we will go in the order of the worksheet that we have in front of us. And the first individual would be the Board of Governor, Mr. Carl Ekstrom. Mr. Ekstrom, are you with us today? Yes, Mr. Ekstrom?
Yes, I'm here.
Welcome to the House and Senate Judiciary confirmation hearings. Hope you're enjoying a nice President's Day. Do you have any opening remarks for us?
No, I do not. This is kind of a new experience for me, so I didn't come that prepared.
All right. Perhaps you could just briefly touch on some of your resume credits, and then we would open the confirmation hearing to any questions from the members.
Well, it's in front of you, I hope, and I think the biggest point I would try to make on anything, and maybe it'd be better just to have some Q&A on the resume, but essentially just to have a public voice, a layman's view for the process.
Thank you. And what's your particular background, Mr. Ekstrom?
It's mostly in public affairs and marketing and small business.
All right. Would you give us just a minute? We're all just kind of getting our bearings our bearings down just for a moment, and then we'll open the floor to questions. Senator French?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Ekstrom, maybe you could just give us a little bit of information about your interest in the Board of Governors of the Bar Association, why that particular post interests you.
Well, I'm interested in the bar. I'm interested in the ethics of attorneys, and like I said earlier, I think it's extremely important to have, a layman's view, a non-lawyer's view of the process and the procedures and what happens with the bar. And it's probably at this point really more of a learning experience for me than anything else. I mean, what I add to the board there is just a lot of background in rural business and the concerns of, rural Alaskans. And that's really all I can say about it.
follow-up, Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Senator French.
Mr. Ekstrom, and when you say interest in attorneys and attorneys' ethics, are there any life experiences you've had that would influence you one way or another on that topic? Have you had a good experience with a lawyer, a bad experience with a lawyer?
I've had both, but I don't, you know, there's good lawyers and there's bad lawyers. But I don't think anything really sticks out in my mind. I've had generally better experiences than worse. I just, you know, want to add a point of view that comes from a rural small business perspective.
Secretary?
I see on your resume here that you lived in the Delta area for quite a while, were associated with the Whitestone Community Association, but it seemed to have ended in 05. Are you no longer associated with them, or?
No, I'm no longer associated with the Whitestone Community Association. I actually founded that association and subsequently left just a couple of years ago to take care of a father-in-law in North Carolina, and came back about a year and a half ago.
Okay. And could you discuss your past interaction with the ATIA Association?
Yes, I used to sit on that board. Also sat on their marketing committee, their public relations committee, still sit on their government relations committee, and heavily involved with their charity walk here in Anchorage, and still have, I consider, some close relationships with some of the members.
And were you, most of the people on ATIA are in the tourism business. Was that because of your involvement with the Whitestone and the Rica's Roadhouse and other?
Yes, primarily.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Ekstrom, I was just wondering what I see that you've got a piece of paper that you filled out that ranked three different, I think the APA, the Public Offices Commission, the Bar Association, and the Health Council as three things you're interested in. Is this something, I'm just trying to figure out what piqued your interest in serving on boards and commissions. Was it something that you sought out, or was there anybody in particular who sought you out and encouraged you to apply?
Both, actually. I mean, I've always had an interest in our citizen process and citizen involvement, and I've been asked by various folks from time to time to be more engaged.
Senator Wilkowski.
Yeah, thank you. Do you have any? There's, I don't know, probably over 75 or so different boards and commissions, maybe 100 even. I haven't counted the whole list, but is there something in particular that you, I guess kind of getting back to Representative Fulmes' question, I mean, is there something that you feel really strongly about that you want to change or that you want to keep on in this new board that you'll be going on?
No, not really. I mean, it goes back to what I said earlier. I think it's just, I mean, whoever came up with the idea of having non-attorneys on the Alaska State Bar, I think was pretty smart. And it's just that, again, that perspective.
Thank you. Representative Coghill?
Actually, I was just going to ask if he'd observed any of the Bar Association proceedings prior to this, or heard about them, so any experience of that. But let me just tell you, I don't know that that's a prerequisite for me to vote for you, because I like the idea of new set eyes. So I just looking at if you had heard or been a part of any of that discussion prior to this.
No, the only, not at all. The only involvement I've had with the state bar was trying to get to some high school kids together from the Delta area to engage in the mock trial competition, and have some small working relationships with the bar at that time. That was about 5 years ago.
Yeah. Well, Mr. Chairman, and I wanted to thank him for at least stepping up, Carl. I appreciate that. It will be a new set of eyes. For that, I am grateful. I hope you can be a real steady set of eyes. So in my experience in working with a bunch of lawyers down here, they can be very persuasive on things that that push you to the limit. So I think you're gonna be stretched.
I look forward to it.
Senator French?
Mr. Ekstrom, you look like a qualified individual to take this job, and so I'm just going to say, I'll just put in a brief bit of lobbying while I have you on the record. We have the highest bar dues in the country here in the state of Alaska, and I've long been a proponent that we should have tiered dues. That is, you should pay dues roughly according to your experience, using experience as a proxy for your income. That is, young lawyers would pay less and older lawyers would pay more. I think the vast majority of states follow such a model. And to tell you how persuasive I am, the proposal that I took to the Board of Governors, the Bar Association, got shot down in no time whatsoever. So I'll just put that idea in your mind, and you might see that proposal come before you sometime in the future, and I hope you'll be willing to think it over.
Well, I have an open mind to everything, so.
Nice. Are there other questions for Mr. Ekstrom from any of the members of the Senate? Members of the House. Sometimes I'm perplexed. Sometimes there's language to move a candidate through the committee, and other times it seems as if we've just heard. Do we have any particular language that anybody's comfortable with? Representative Coghill?
Mr. Chairman, on our part, this will be the first time I think we've done a joint hearing on this, but on our part, it would be to move the recommendation for further consideration by the body. With individual recommendations, which is you can put a recommendation on there if you so choose, but generally it was just a recommendation that we have heard those individuals and move them on for further action by the body.
Is that language acceptable to the Senate?
That motion would satisfy the Senate, yes, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Given that, then I think we will forward the name of Mr. Ekstrom to both of the respective bodies at the appropriate time. And Mr. Ekstrom, we thank you very much for making yourself available on President's Day and for answering our questions and for being so frank with regard to your interests. It is a refreshing point of view.
You're welcome, sir.
All right. Have a nice afternoon.
You too.
Next on our list would be Mr. Ashenbrenner of Fairbanks, who is up for an appointment to the Commission on Judicial Conduct. Mr. Ashenbrenner, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
It's nice to hear your voice. How have you been?
I've been just fine.
Very good. Would you introduce yourself for the members of the House and Senate Judiciary Committees, please?
Yes, I will. Thank you, Chairman. My name is Peter Ashenbrenner. I have offices in Fairbanks and Anchorage. I've been practicing in Alaska for over 36 years, and the area of judicial ethics is a particular focus of my attention. I've written over 10 articles in the State Bar Journal on this topic. I've appeared before the commission as an advocate, obviously, before I was appointed. I've attended both of the national conferences in this area. I research the issues that come up before the commission, and I think the attorney members have some very heavy lifting to do because it's the attorneys who see the vast majority of problem behaviors as the judge is getting into trouble. And I believe two of the areas that the commission is now facing that would be of particular interest to the legislature and are not the high-profile cases, obviously, that are a matter of public record, are ethical conduct in settlement conferences and delay in making decisions. And that sort of ends my introductory remarks.
Very good. Are there questions for Mr. Ashenbrenner? Senator French?
Thank you. Mr. Ashenbrenner, it looks like you were, a commissioner in the past on the same commission. Is that correct?
Yes, I was appointed by Governor Murkowski in 2004.
And when did your term end?
Technically, it's a four-year term, so I think it's up in March.
So this is, in essence, a reappointment?
Yes, that's correct, Senator.
And what can you tell us about the 4 years you've been on the commission? Have you enjoyed the experience? I guess that's a yes, but maybe you can tell us a little bit more about the workings of the commission and your experience there.
Well, I think what's very interesting, and Mr. Ekstrom had commented on this, The state constitution provides for three different and divergent points of view. You have judges and you have public members, and they have some very specific and general experiences to bring. But the attorney members are the ones who are really there, I think, to comment most aggressively and, more importantly, most proactively on the problems that judges can get into. And so we see, obviously, the vast majority of what we see is confidential. And what we, as commissioners, see are the beginnings of problem behaviors. And then it is our job to both act as a misconduct commission and be the cops, but also to lay out guidelines, which we've attempted to do, say, with respect to settlement conferences, to guide all of the judges in ethical behavior in guiding the parties into those conferences.
Thank you.
Representative Dahlstrom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Ashenberger, are you any relationship to Chris, who testifies before us on a regular basis?
I have heard the name, but I am not a relation.
Okay, thank you very much.
Senator Huggins.
Mr. Ashenbrenner, Charlie Huggins here at Wasilla. And the bar rag, I noticed that you're looking for your wig. Could you tell about your next article?
Yes. Judges in the United Kingdom wear what you can buy at a good party store, which is a wig which will go down to your waist. And so this gives the British in particular a very sharp and clear vision of what a judge should be. We don't go for those sort of accoutrements in the U.S., and so we struggle a little bit more in describing what it is that we want our judges to do. And so when we say things like, to link it back to a current issue, when we say things like we want our judges to decide cases in a timely fashion, there's a law that says, well, you can't collect your paycheck if your decision is overdue by 6 months. Well, let me ask you, do you think that it's appropriate for a judge just to delay taking his or her paycheck hurry up the decision after 6 months, or do you expect the decisions to be made before 6 months? So I think that's an issue where the Conduct Commission should be looking to give some guidance and support and encourage judges to get them done before rather than to go without their daily bread.
Thank you very much.
Certainly.
Senator Terrio?
Have you applied for judgeships in the past?
I've never applied for a state court judgeship. I was a U.S. magistrate in Fairbanks. It's a part-time job for about 16 years.
Okay, that's what I must be remembering. Thank you.
If you drove carefully in Fort Wainwright, you would never run across me.
Other questions for Mr. Ashenbrenner? Mr. Ashenbrenner, I remember you when you were partners with Judge Savelle before he retired to Oregon.
Yes.
It's nice to hear your voice again, and thank you very much for coming before the committee on President's Day. Do any of the members have any questions for Mr. Ashenbrenner? All right, with that, the chair would entertain a motion.
I'd be happy, Mr. Chair, to move that Mr. Ashenbrenner's name be forwarded onto a joint session of both bodies for consideration.
Okay, without objection, we will forward that name. Mr. Ashenbrenner, thank you for joining us this afternoon.
It's been my pleasure.
All right, take care. Next is Mr. Thomas Knave of Juneau. Do we have Mr. Knave?
Yes, you do.
Welcome to the House and Senate Judiciary hearings, confirmation hearings. We're delighted to have you before the committee on President's Day. Do you have any opening remarks that you'd like to make? And am I pronouncing your name correctly? Is it Mr.?
Yes, it's Nave. And let me just apologize ahead of time. I am on the way back from the week at the Alyeska Cup, which Senator Hollis knows all about. Mm-hmm. And I'm staying up on the hillside. And I tried the landline, but the wind is blowing so hard that that's interrupted. So now I'm on my cell phone with limited battery power, and I'm hearing most of what the committee is saying, but I may miss a trick or two, but we'll do the best we can. Insofar as introductory comments, I haven't practiced quite as long as Mr. Ashenbrenner, 31 years in my case. Almost all of that has been in Juneau. I'm a sole practitioner in private practice up until 1985. I was deputy director of the Public Defender Agency, and since that time I've been in private practice, and my area of practice encompasses criminal defense, general civil litigation. I represent attorneys who've been sued for malpractice on a fairly regular basis. And I've been on the commission for 4 years, and along with Mr. Ashenbrenner, and I would like to comment, if you'd permit me, that Mr. Ashenbrenner is just an integral component to that commission. It's interesting that at least the three lawyers on the commission don't share totally a common view of everything, but we all provide our own experience and perspective, and his is an extremely valuable one. I've enjoyed the first 4 years, I have to tell you that originally I did not intend to reapply, thinking someone else should have a turn. I changed my mind because the learning curve seems to be fairly steep. We've been to national training in Chicago twice in the last 4 years. And as with any area in the practice of law, it takes a certain period of time to come up to speed on what the judicial canons, one, say, two, what they mean, how they are applied in practice, and where all the lines are drawn. And so I felt obligated, once again, having enjoyed that experience and the training that I've received, to put it in place and perhaps to even more effective use.
Senator French?
Thank you. Before I have to go, I just want to say to Mr. Nave, I may have ridden the chairlift over you and the other parents who were running the Alyeska Cup on Saturday afternoon as the wind was howling about 60 miles an hour at Alyeska.
That was terrible.
And I just thought to myself, I'm so glad that my son is no longer in the program.
Well, they ended up having to cancel the downhill and the Super G, and yesterday's slalom was running a rainstorm. It was just it wasn't the best of all experiences at the Alyeska Cup.
It was a tough weekend down there, and I wish you well on the commission.
Thank you.
Representative Grunberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd just like to put on the record that I do have a conflict of interest, that Mr. Nave represents members of my family and has on a more or less, seems to be continuing basis. Hopefully it won't be any more. Other members, not me. We shall go nameless, I think you know. And he's done a great job, and we all appreciate it, and he's a fine lawyer.
Thank you, Representative Grunberg, and it's nice to have you back.
Yes, thank you. Nice to be back.
Yes, it is. We all echo that sentiment. Representative Dahlstrom?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Nave, is there any potential conflict of interest with your wife serving as an assistant AG?
No, because that's entirely out of our area of influence or interest. The commission's sole purpose is to determine, based on complaints that are filed, whether or not a particular judge has crossed an ethical line. The Attorney General's office plays no part in that.
Thank you for that clarification.
Senator Theriault?
Could you just give us a little bit more information, what you refer to when you said, I have also been retained by BP Exploration on two occasions as a trial consultant? Is it in a particular area of expertise?
That was a long time ago, and I think what you must be looking at is my initial application 4 years ago. BP did hire me twice, sort of as a component of their trial litigation team, and frankly, the only reason they hired me is because I had been had a litigation practice in Juneau for quite a long time, and they wanted a local perspective. I didn't participate in trials. We helped them set up a sort of a mock trial situation and focus groups and that sort of thing. And I can't claim that I played any major role except to offer a Southeast Alaska perspective to people from Houston, San Francisco, Chicago, London. who had no ability to gain that perspective. So that's all that was. I wasn't involved really in the meat of the subject.
Secretarial?
Was it in preparation for a particular trial?
It was.
Are you at liberty to tell us what that was?
You know, it's been a while now that I'm not just sure if I can describe it. It had to do with BP paying their fair share of taxes to the state of Alaska, and it settled basically on the courthouse steps.
Thank you.
Are there other questions for Mr. Knave? Seeing none, I would entertain a motion to forward Mr. Knave's name to both members of the body. Representative Dahlstrom?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to make the motion that this joint committee forward the name of Thomas G. Knave to the joint body for further consideration.
Thank you. The consent to both bodies, that name will be forwarded. Mr. Knave, thank you very much for letting us get to know you a little bit and to glean an insight on your qualifications and your...
Thank you. I was honored by the chance to do that. I wish you a good day.
Thank you, and thank you for the nice words about Mr. Ashenbrenner. We appreciate that. Next is Robert Shelton, Sheldon from Anchorage. Mr. Sheldon, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Welcome. Would you introduce yourself and any remarks that you may have?
Sure, and I hope everyone there has a copy of my resume.
We do.
I'll fill in some blanks here. Both sides of my family arrived in Alaska during the 30s, and for the past seven decades, we've been involved in territory, federal, and state public service in several areas, but mostly through aviation. More recently, though, over the past two decades, I've become familiar with serving in a public policy and execution venues, which is quite a relief because I'm more skilled driving an analyst desk than piloting aircraft. More recently, in a conversation with a friend, I became aware that the Commission on Judicial Conduct would have a seat available in March. And so I took a look at materials from the Commission, and especially relating to rules, procedure, and opinions, and I became convinced that this is an interesting area that I could understand and enjoy serving in. So in short, I applied based on a confluence of opportunity, competency, and tradition in my family.
Very good. Are there questions for Mr. Sheldon? Representative Holmes?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I would like to thank all the people who are online today for their willingness to serve. This is something near and dear to the hearts of all of us sitting here on the committee, so we really appreciate everybody coming forward. Mr. Sheldon, I was wondering, had you been involved in any boards and commissions in the past, or is this going to be your first foray into a state board or commission?
Yeah, I was involved with a group called TATIC under the Murkowski administration that attempted to facilitate, it was an investment cooperation council where we explored, arranged, and facilitated bilateral trade between Alaska and Taiwan.
Are there other questions for Mr. Sheldon? Senator Terrio?
Are you related to Don Sheldon?
He is my father.
Okay, thank you.
Questions from any other members for Mr. Sheldon?
Do you want a motion?
Yes, I will. Mr. Sheldon, it says that at present you help manage a private equity fund which invests in latter stage power-related companies. Do any of those companies have an interest in the state of Alaska?
Not currently. We only have two holdings left in the fund, as we're in the process of unwinding it with the investments proving themselves out and being sold off to public markets.
Any other questions for Mr. Sheldon? Representative Hall?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just one more. This is a seat on the Judicial Conduct Commission. I'm just wondering, Mr. Sheldon, if you have had any particular experiences with the judicial branch in the past that have led you to have either positive or negative opinions one way or the other of the judiciary?
I wouldn't say so much positive or negative, but what really intrigued me here is the ethics advice and prevention component. Often I think we see quite a bit in the papers about the policing actions that are sometimes that take place, and so when I saw that there's this process for that not only provided for that but the prevention component, I really thought that boy that could be useful to judges that might have questions and so forth. So when I contacted the commission, they affirmed that was a component. Then they pointed me towards the opinions that have been set down, and there's 40 some odd pages worth of opinions available, and so I went through those. And so more than anything, it's not an experience directly with the court in so much as looking at others' experiences and the opinions that have been handed down that attracted me.
Representative Holmes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As a follow-up, that certainly sounds like you've done your homework. Have you drawn any ideas of things that you might be hoping to accomplish as a member of the commission based on your research?
You know, one thing about public service that my grandfather always used to tell me is as it flows towards you, work with those around you to accomplish what is relevant. So not knowing what's flowing towards me, I can't really say that there's anything in particular that I'd be looking to accomplish other than being a public member doing my duty.
Thank you.
Thank you for the wisdom, Mr. Sheldon. Are there any final questions for Mr. Sheldon? Seeing none, the chair would recommend and entertain a motion.
I'll move that we forward the name of Robert D. Sheldon to the full House and Senate for a seat on the Commission on Judicial Conduct.
Thank you, Mr. Sheldon. We appreciate you taking time with us on President's Day to allow us to ask you some questions and get to know you better. We look forward to your confirmation.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and everyone in attendance.
Thank you. Our final confirmation hearing this afternoon is Mr. Leroy J. Barker on the Violent Crimes Compensation Board. Mr. Barker, are you with us?
Yeah, I am. My operator interrupted, but I think I'm okay.
You're good.
Okay, great. Yeah. I'm here.
Thank you. We appreciate your enthusiasm. Would you introduce yourself?
Yeah, my name is Leroy Barker. I live in Anchorage. I'm a retired lawyer. I retired 4 years ago, 3 years ago, excuse me, 3 years ago, and I've served since for the last 5 years on the Violent Crimes Compensation Board, and I'm asking to be reappointed. I think it's a worthwhile activity, and it's obviously a low-profile board, but I think to pair what Tom Nave said, I think it's a real learning curve. So I also debated whether to stay on, but I think it's important to have some experience. We have a good working board now, with one physician, one layperson, and myself as the lawyer. And so I would like to continue to serve on the board.
Thank you, Mr. Barker. We appreciate your willingness to serve the public, and we thank you. For my benefit and perhaps some of the other members of the Joint Committee, could you tell me what kind of projects the Violent Crimes Compensation Board undertakes?
Well, what we do is it's a statewide system, and people apply victims of violent crimes that are, and those crimes are set out by the statute, by the legislatures. As are the restraints on how much we can award, and then we listen to the basically most of it's done on paper. We very rarely hear from the actual claimants. The victims come to us for assistance, lost income, medical. The most important thing we do, I think, is we can, on an expedited basis, make emergency awards up to $1,500. And most of these are to relocate generally women and their children who have been domestic violence victims. And so we can get them out of wherever they're in a situation which is unsafe and move them. But basically that's what we do. We meet four or five times a year and once a year in Juneau, and we've come down and met some of you on the committees, but the rest of the time we meet here in Anchorage. And That's sort of an outline of what we do. We try and get the word out that we're available to help victims. The police, for all first responders, are required to provide information about us to victims of violent crimes, as does AWAKE and STAR and the rest of the folks that are trying to help out.
Senator Terrio, can you refresh my memory? We were in your office, and we were visited by some people that were affiliated with the Violent Crimes Compensation Board, and I'm trying to think of how to frame a question. Were you in a situation, is it appropriate to ask you, Mr. Barker, where, trying to, do you remember, it was about three, it was, I think it might have been on your birthday. It was...
just this year?
Yeah, just a few weeks ago. And
sorry, I don't remember.
They were asking for... Do you, Mr. Barker, does the Violent Crimes Compensation Board enjoy matching funds from the federal government, or?
Yes, we do. We get 40 cents on a dollar from the federal government. Everything that's appropriate. Yeah, I remember the meeting. I was down there. That's when we were down there. What, 3 weeks ago? Maybe 4 weeks ago. Anyway, we get matching funds from the federal government of 40 cents on the dollar. So every dollar that we get. And our money comes from the a portion of the permanent fund is retained for the criminal justice system, and we get a portion of that. That's the base of our funding. But we get 40 cents on a dollar from the federal government. So for every dollar that you give us or comes from the state, we get 40 cents from the federal government. There's no limit on that.
And Mr. Barker, just because we have the opportunity to have both the House and Senate Judiciary Committee here, can you go over the particular problem? We were at that point, we were trying to discuss a finer point of something that we could do that would improve the situation for the Violent Crimes Compensation Board, and I'm hazy on what the problem was and what was the proposed solution, and if there's anything that the House or Senate Judiciary Committees can do to assist the Violent Crimes Compensation Board in having a healthier organization.
Yes, I'm going to sound like a politician when I say thank you for asking me that question. But yeah, there is. We are hoping. One of the things that happens is that the money that we get as in the Constitution. Is at the end of every year, the monies we still have, except we haven't any swept back, any money we get back from restitution, court-ordered restitution to the victim, or for subrogation claims, and in another case, we've had a couple of institutions come to us and offer to make donations. All of those go into the general fund. And what we were hoping to do, or are hoping to do, is have those fenced off so they come back to us. And the advantage of that is when they come back to us, we get the 40 cents on a dollar.
That's right.
And we can build up that fund to help more victims. We've had in problems in the past, not this year, but in the past where we have had to, instead of giving, say, $40,000 to a murder victim, a child or a parent or whatever, we've had to cut that amount to say 30 or 35,000 because we were running out of funds. So we're hoping to be in a situation where, and I understand the dedicated funds, I think I do, not nearly as well as you folks do, but we're hoping, and I think there's going to be a bill introduced or has been introduced to provide those funds would come back to the commission. And I will say, I make one other pitch, if I may, just for a moment, because I know you're all busy, is we are not a compensated board. And the people we're giving to are truly, you know, almost all of them are destitute or very impoverished. And the we have no control over our business is booming, not because so much crime is up, but because there's so many more people aware of our what we can do for them. And so we cannot slow down the coming in of applications. So we're hoping this will give us some buffer to take care of those folks.
Thank you, Mr. Barker. With the indulgence of both committees, I'd like to take a few more minutes to flesh out what this particular process is, because as I recollect that conversation, Mr. Barker, there were as you say, there's a piece of legislation that we could get behind and especially help that would create more federal matching dollars into.
Right.
Can you give us a sense of how many people are awarded annually through the Violent Crimes Compensation?
I should have been ready for that. Give me 1 second. I can probably. Okay, let me go off for just 1 second. Look at the report. About 730 this year.
Thank you. I was just copying to both committees that I have failed to read the report.
Okay, that's all right. You got a lot of paper going over. Anyway, I'm sorry. I had the report right in front of me. About 730.
And we could enhance the funds going to the victims of violent crime significantly if we were to help with that piece of legislation. Is that an accurate understanding?
That's correct. And we would get the 40 cents on the dollar, which is we don't get under the present system.
Okay. I think at an appropriate time, we'll get with you and make sure we know which piece of legislation that is, and then we will send that out in a memo form to the members of both committees so that we'll be mindful of being able to help the Violent Crimes Compensation Board. We appreciate your knowledge and your willingness to serve and your willingness to come before us on President's Day. Representative Gruenberg has a question for you, Mr. Barker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Max, how you doing?
Finally, Roy. And just for the record, I've known Mr. Barker for more than 30 years. He's a top lawyer, and you know, when he applied before, I think he came before this committee, and I recommend him. But I did want to ask a question to you.
Sure.
A few years ago, Senator McGuire and some of the rest of you who were around will remember we expanded your jurisdiction to include first-degree arson.
Right.
Are there any other crimes that ought to be included?
I don't think so. No, that's a good question. No, I think whoever drafted the legislation, which has been in place for quite a few years, did a really good job. And no, I don't think we have, I don't think we've turned down anybody where there was an actual violent crime. Sometimes we do when they're property crimes, but if there's an actual person gets hurt or threatened, we're able to take care of them.
Yeah, when we first introduced that bill, and I was one of the co-primes on it, we also considered property crimes, but there was a lot of opposition. It would be really expanding the jurisdiction. Right now, it's just crimes against the person, and so I don't think we can go in that direction.
Right, and I would discourage that direction because of the tremendous cost involved, and that was for one of our concerns. And you modified the arson bill, and we appreciate that. Jared was our chair was involved in that, but it could be really expensive, and it's not that these folks don't. They don't deserve help, but there just isn't the resources to handle it.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Senator McGuire.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And just on the record, Leroy, I want to say thank you so much for your willingness to continue serving. He was in my office. He's my constituent and was in my office a few years back talking about potential retirement. And we would all be at a loss in the state without your service. And so thank you. Again, it's an uncompensated board, so it's the highest level of public service. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Representative Holmes?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to add into the accolades here. I don't actually know Mr. Barker, but this weekend I was kind of calling people who and asking about the people who are going to be coming before us today, and somebody whose opinion I hold very highly referred to Mr. Barker as the ethical gold standard. So that is exactly the kind of person we want serving on our...
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that. I'm not sure I deserve it, but I appreciate that.
Very good. On that note, seeing no more questions, we'd entertain a motion to forward Mr. Barker's name. Representative Dahlstrom?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would move that this Joint Committee of House and Senate Judiciary move the name of Leroy J. Barker to the joint body for further approval.
Thank you, Mr. Barker. With that, we thank you for taking time.
Thank you, and thanks for the support.
Yes, sir, and we will send out a memo when we locate that piece of legislation and familiarize members of both the House and Senate Judiciary with that piece of legislation so we can get behind it and offer our support.
Hey, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Have a good day.
Thank you, Mr. Barker. With that, that concludes the Joint Senate and House Judiciary Confirmation Hearings. It was a pleasure to have members of the other body down here, and thank you for your insight and your company, and we are glad to share our committee room with you. And with that, at 10 minutes to 2, we're adjourned.